Don't just leave. Don't just leave. Don't just leave.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pizzegna. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program today. I'm going to be talking about victory in any storms that you face in your life. One of my favorite stories in the scripture, Mark chapter 4. One day when evening had come, Jesus said to them, "Let's go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him in the boat, just as he was, and there were other boats with him. And a great storm of wind occurred, and the waves beat into the boat, and the boat was filling with water. But Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up, and they said, "Teacher, don't you care if we perish?" And he woke up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with fear, and they said to one another, "Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I remember it was Rembrandt. He was going through a great suffering in his life. You know, Rembrandt was a great painter. He loved to paint gospel scenes. One of the scenes that he painted was the stilling of the storm. You know, here's this fishing boat lurching up in white-capped waters. By the way, this portrait was in the Boston Museum, and it was stolen from the Boston Museum. They still don't have it. Here's this fishing boat lurching up in white-capped waters. There's the 12 apostles. There's Jesus asleep on the back of the cushion. 13th man in the boat grabbed onto the mast for dear life. It was Rembrandt. See, he was going through a divorce. His dad had just died. He was going through a tremendous storm in his life. He painted himself right into the picture. And what was he doing? He was clinging to the boat, symbolic of clinging to God. See, that's what trust is, I think. Clinging. Psalm 63, I believe it is. One of my favorite psalms. 63, verse 8. "My soul clings to you. Your right hand holds me fast." I love that. Because when you're going through things that are earth-shaking and hard, what's the number one thing that you can do? Cling. Not curse God. You know, that's what they told Job when he was going through some sufferings. Curse God and die. No, not curse God. Cling to God. Because as I said before, don't use God as an excuse not to go to church because bad things are happening. No, use your sufferings to bring you to God. To grow in trust. To have a conversion. This is made for you. Your sufferings have significance. When I was professed as a religious, this is back in 1985, this is over 30 years ago, we had a ceremony when we, this is called being vested with our habit. There were 8 of us young men. And we sang a song, and it talked about storms. And it goes a little bit like this. "No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since love is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?" See, sing in the storm. That's when your faith is tested. That's when it's tried. But cling to God. How can I keep from singing? I cling to God in the midst of the storm. I have a saying that it's part of my motto, it's part of my mantra. I don't understand, but I trust. Do you get that? I don't understand, but I trust. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Why I had to have a knee operation, or lose my parents, or go through eye troubles, or diminishment of religious life, or 9-1-1, or divorce, and all the different things that happen in the world. I don't understand it all, I know it's caused by evil, not by God. I don't understand everything, but I do understand this. I trust. In the midst of it all, I trust. And every one of us is approaching our own mortality, our own physical death, and we must trust as we go through this. I want you to trust. This is crucial. As we prepare for eternity, you must learn trust. Trust is a must. And it's really, really important. Not just trust, but trust in God. One of our men was struggling. We had a faith-sharing time together, one of our priests. And he revealed to us that he was going through depression. And you might be thinking, well, a priest going through depression? You know, if you have enough faith, you won't have depression. I look at it this way. If you have enough faith, you can face depression, face loneliness, face your trials with trust. So some of you have been going through some things and you're just relying upon yourself and you're bewildered and you're not quite sure what's going on and you're losing your trust. No, I want to push you over the edge. I want you to know that your sufferings are significant and meant to teach you trust. How else are you going to learn trust? Not by living on the mountaintop, but by going through the valley. That, by the way, is one of the earliest Christian symbols ever found of Christ, a statue. It was of the Good Shepherd holding a little lamb and guiding that little lamb, taking that little lamb through some really steep crevices and very hard places, and he held the lamb around his neck. And you're that lamb, and I'm that lamb. And oftentimes it doesn't seem like it, but Jesus is not only with us, but he's taking us through as we prepare for eternity. And as we go through, we learn trust. We learn to rely, to lean upon, to depend upon our shepherd. Would you trust Jesus right now? He's in your boat. Trust him right now. As you go through these things in your life, I know that you're going through some things. We all do. God sees you. He's in the boat. So what do they do? You know, Jesus is in the boat and they wake him up. Okay. And you know what they said to him? They said, Jesus, calm the storm. That's what we all want. Calm our storm. Stop the suffering. Take it away. I don't want to go through this. Wake up, Jesus. You know, that's our first prayer. Somebody gave me a lithograph. I will never forget it. I didn't understand it when they first gave it to me. But this is what it says. It's not the storm outside that Jesus wants to calm. It's the storm inside. Wow. There's some wisdom there. I get so agitated and frustrated and bent out of shape. I'm a type A. I let life harangue me and harass me. The devil uses noise and people and traffic and things in my life, travel, to try to get to me. Where I love what Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And I want to tell you right now, peace be with you. That's something we offer each other at Mass if you're Catholic. Peace be to you. That's how Paul opens his letters. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is so what we need. Otherwise, you're just going to be agitated and frustrated and bent out of shape all the time. That's not trust. That's not following Jesus. That's living the way the world does. But allow that stuff to bring you to God, and you can truly have peace within, inner peace. See, it's not the storm outside that he's trying to calm, it's the one inside. I remember I was traveling one time to Boston. That's my home state of Massachusetts. And I was traveling there to preach a mission in Worcester. Here I am in Houston. I'm at the airport. And by the way, I've traveled now for almost 30 years on airplanes, preaching missions all around the United States. You think I'd be used to it by now, but you know, I'm 6 feet too tall. And you sit in those seats and your knees hit the people in front of you and you have to fight for your armrest and all that type of a thing. And I remember I was standing there, I was just about getting a plane, it was gonna be a full plane, and I was thinking about the whole thing. You know, I had to travel all the way to Boston and then face the traffic in Boston on a Friday afternoon, drive to Worcester, then get settled in there, preach in front of all the people. And I was getting really distressed. And I know it's a call. And I know God was with me and everything, but sometimes you just don't feel it. And I was standing there by the window, and I was looking out at the plane. You know, it was at the jetway, and all the people were just waiting. And as I'm looking, something caught my eye. It was a little bird, and it flew on the windowsill, just a little sparrow. And as it did, it flicked its little wing. And as I looked at it, all of a sudden, I got the sense that God was watching that sparrow. We've all heard that verse in the Bible, you know, that God knows the sparrow, he watches over the sparrow, he'll watch over you. And I came to understand that God was watching me at that moment. And that even though I had to go through some things, I wasn't alone. And just seeing that little bird gave me peace. Well, I got on the plane. Thanks be to God, it was a safe trip to Boston. Got in, there was traffic. Got into my room in Worcester, you know, went through a bunch of things. And as I get into my room on the bureau, and I'll never forget this, as I'm moving in to the rectory, there's a little saying, and it said, God watches over the sparrow, and he'll watch over you. And I got goosebumps because it's so true. God is providentially watching over you in your life. There's no reason to get all bent out of shape. You know, Jesus taught us about this. He said, look at the birds. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Look at the lilies of the field. Not even Solomon in his glorious array was clothed like one of these. Oh, of you of little faith, he said. In other words, where's your trust? And as a religious, I dedicated myself to simplicity. And I trust. I'm learning, but I'm growing. And that's what the whole journey is about. We go through so that we can grow through. And right now in your life, don't get all frustrated and frazzled by everything. Remember the song by the Eagles, "Don't let the sound of your own wheels drive you crazy"? At least you got wheels. You know, many people today have to take the bus. At least you got wheels. It may make a little bit of noise, but don't let it drive you crazy. Try to live with appreciation and give thanks. I think one of the greatest virtues we need in life is courage. I love that picture of the bird courageously facing the storm, being strong. I love that picture. That gives me courage. And then I think about the eagle. It's the storm that brings the eagle higher and higher. Let the storms of your life make you courageous. Let them lift you up. Do you have peace in your life? That's what Jesus came to bring. There was a Good Morning America segment recently about women that could not fall asleep, single moms. And they found that if you meditate, spend 5 or 10 minutes a day meditating, it will help you to have peace and to fall asleep. Years ago, I was never able to meditate because I had no peace. Then when I came to Christ, I was able to spend some time in prayer and just be still. My book, Thy Kingdom Come, will help you to have peace, to know Jesus, and to be strong in the storms of your life. I got a book from a man one time. I was at a mission, and I was back there selling my books, as I do at all my parish missions. This was in Plantersville, Texas, just north of Houston. And there were people milling about, and all of a sudden this hand came and it had a book at the end of it. And I took the book, and you know, a lot of people give me their books that they've written, and I appreciate it. And it was a book called God is at the Meeting. It's a 12-step meeting book. God is at the Meeting by Maurice G. And I started to read it, and it was really powerful. I love what it had to say. Basically, Maurice, the author of the book, said that he admitted that he was an alcoholic. He went to the meetings, and it seemed like God was working in everybody's life but his. People were happy, and they were talking. It seemed like great things were going on in their life, but he was sitting there frustrated and wondering why nothing was happening to him. Well, one day, as he was going to a meeting, as he was getting into the car, all of a sudden, he heard a bird chirp. And he stopped dead in his tracks. And he realized that for the first time in many years, he heard a bird chirp. And he realized when he heard that bird chirp that God was intervening in his life and working in his life. And he changed. Someone wrote one time, a bird doesn't sing because it has to. A bird sings because he has a song. Remember what I sang a little while ago? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. See, remember the slaves when they were going through the hard times from Africa? They sang. When you're going through hard times, don't say there is no God and he doesn't care about me. Sing to God. The song of a bird. God is working in your life, even though you don't feel it sometimes. When I'm at my lowest moments, I sing. I praise. See, I'm learning trust. We all go through stuff. We all go through hardships. We all have difficulties. And that's exactly what Jesus said to the apostles. He says, where is your faith? He calmed the storm, and that's what I want to say to you right now. Peace. Be still. Peace be with you. The Prince of Peace is with you. He's going to help you. I know you're growing older. I know some of you are lonely. I know you're going through some depression, maybe. Some grieving, addictions. Peace be with you. It's all meant to teach us, to help us to grow, to be transformed, to be mystically united to the passion, to learn trust. And that's why Jesus said, where's your faith? I don't know the exact correlation between fear and faith, but here's what I've discovered. When I'm afraid, you ever see a scale balance? When I'm afraid, when I've got a lot of fear in my life, faith is way down here. But when I'm trusting, when I'm believing, when I'm clinging, fear is way down here. So it seems to me like it's an exact correlation. And I want to tell you today, if you've been afraid or in panic, like the disciples were in the boat, trust. Trust. Remember what I said, I don't understand all this, but I trust. I cling. I give myself to you. Wow, watch what will happen. God works through faith. Remember in the Gospels, Jesus loved people of faith. And he said he would marvel at people of faith. And that's how his power was able to work. So give God a little room to work in your life. Simply believe. And then go the extra step and trust. Lean upon the everlasting arms and watch what happens. Remember Sister Faustina, she had a vision of the risen Jesus and he appeared to her. It's the mercy apparition. And he said, I want you to paint a portrait of me and underneath I want you to put the words, Jesus, I trust in you. Later on when the program's over, you're thinking to yourself, what did Father Cedric say there? What was that all about? I just want you to do this. Pray, Jesus, I trust in you. That's all I simply want you to pray. When you're thinking about your own upcoming death, or you're feeling lonely, or you're going through depression, or you're having trouble grieving, or maybe you're crying, or you're facing that addiction, Jesus, I trust in you, and watch what happens. He will help you. We don't always understand. We don't have all the answers. There's many difficulties. Everybody has to face storms. But what this is doing is, remember what I said, we're going across to the other side. And as we go across, we face these storms. We get into these difficulties. We go through these hardships. And that's meant to teach us trust. That's how we get a personal relationship with Jesus. The way that you get it is by going through. We grow through as we go through. As you get experience, that's how you learn who Jesus is as your good shepherd. You can't just learn about it in a book. You got to learn about it as you go through. So Jesus comes to us. Remember, his name is Emmanuel, God with us. He comes to us. He's in the boat in the storm. And we can have victory, and that's the title of these programs, victory in the storm as we trust. Every one of us is going to go through, but not all of us are going to be victorious. Remember, life is significant. It has purpose. It has meaning. And the purpose is to prepare for eternity. And in order to be ready, we must be trusting as we die. Not being afraid, but trusting. And how do you learn trust? As you go through your things now. Developing your personal relationship. Uniting yourself mystically to Jesus crucified. So that when you die, you're ready. And then growing in virtue, being transformed, changing, progressing, learning, growing. That's the purpose of life. That's what discipleship is all about. Of course, reaching out to other people too. So where is your faith? You've got it. Stir it up. And I'm praying that faith comes by hearing as you watch this program. Your faith will grow. Now, let me bring all this to a conclusion. After all this happens, they just went from almost dying in a storm to peace. Challenged about their faith, the disciples said something really important. They said, "Who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Great question. You can take it two ways. They were saying, "Wow, did you see that? He stilled the storm. He saved us from death and drowning. Who is this?" That's one way to take it. You know what the other way to take it is? The literal way. Who is this? In other words, they don't know who he is. They don't know Jesus. And that's the way that we have to read it at face value. Well, who is Jesus? That's the question that the gospel writers want to answer. Who is Jesus Christ? And it's interesting, in the Gospel of Mark, no human being ever says that Jesus is the Son of God until a certain point. And I'll tell you that in a minute. You might be thinking, wait a minute. Caesarea Philippi, Peter says, "You are the Son of God." Yes, he says that in Matthew, but not in Mark. And you can't, by the way, really quickly, you can't take all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can't mesh them, meld them all together. Each one is an individual portrait. You have to take Mark alone. Otherwise, you're not going to understand what the writer of Mark was trying to say. And so this is what I learned in the seminary. When it came to Jesus, no human being, now demons know who Jesus is, God knows who Jesus is, but no human being knows. He teaches with sublime wisdom. Nobody ever says, "You're the Son of God." He stills the storm. They say, "Who is this?" They didn't say, "You're the Son of God." He raises people from the dead. They didn't say, "You're the Son of God." Performs all these miracles. They didn't say that you're the Son of God. But they did at one certain point, an unlikely man, a Gentile, nobody that you would ever expect. You know, if we had music in the background, this would be a symphony. There would be this great drum roll, this great climax as we come to the end of the gospel. Then all of a sudden, you can't miss it. At his death on the cross, a Roman Gentile soldier proclaims, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Did you get that? Throughout the gospel, nobody ever knew who Jesus was. And now Jesus is revealed as the Son of God, not when he taught, not when he calmed the storms, not when he raised people from the dead, not when he did all these miracles, when he died on the cross. That's who Jesus, this defines Jesus as the Son of God. Because remember what he said in Mark 10:45. He said, "I haven't come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." So how do we go to the other side? How do we prepare for eternity? By trusting that Jesus died for you and me personally. He is the Son of God. And he's going to take us to the other side. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And at that moment, He's revealed as the Son of God. Oh, you know, I was taught this in the seminary and I would have missed it because, you know, I didn't read the Gospel of Mark the way it should be read. I just amalgamated all the other Gospels with it. But now I understand that Mark was trying to tell us that in his sufferings on the cross, Jesus is revealed as the glorious Son of God as we trust him and receive salvation. Have you given your life to Christ? I'm going to invite you now to come to Christ and pray. Jesus, I believe that you died and suffered for me on the cross. I believe that I am forgiven, and because of you, I'm going to live forever. Jesus, I trust in you, and I surrender all that I am to you. You are the Son of God. Take me to the other side. And as we've prayed that together, may God bring you to the other side, bring you to eternal life, and may your life never be the same. Jesus, I trust in you. Don't just live, live with passion. Hope you like my teaching about peace in the middle of the storm. I remember when I used to play golf. Golf is an outdoor sport, as you know, and I'd be out there, and some days are beautifully and sunny, beautiful sunny days, and other days there's wind and rain, and oftentimes when it's windy and rainy and the storms come, a lot of people that are golfers, they wilt. They can't play golf and that kind of a thing. They have that attitude, oh, it's terrible out. But if you're what's called a mudder, M-U-D-D-E-R, you forget what's coming against you. You be courageous. You make the shots and you rise above the storms and you become a better golfer than anybody else because your attitude takes a lot of courage in life. And I want to tell you that you can be a champion in life when you face your challenges. That's why I love that picture of the bird that stands there in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of the storm, with its head bowed, trusting in God. And that's the way I want you to be, courageous. Our challenges are meant to make us champions. That means it brings you closer to God. And I want you to get this book, Challenges Make Champions. It's one of the best books I ever wrote. It will help you in whatever challenges that you're facing to become a champion, to face your storm, to go to the other side and be all that you can be. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Bezania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs. You can listen to more podcasts. You can make prayer requests that come directly to me and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.